You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 23, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me right here, if possible, every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. I will teach the word first, and then we pray fervently for America, for Cuba, and for all kinds of good things in this world. You're also invited to come here at Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, media, SoundCloud, Facebook broadcast taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. From God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, you are God's sharecropper. You are God's sharecropper.
Verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?
These are the phony religious leaders. They're always trying to control things, and they're phony. Besides, they were very mad at Jesus because he had just cleaned the temple and gotten out their money-making ways there. They were very mad at him.
Verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things.
Now, Jesus just gave us a great life's lesson. When the enemy is provoking you, aggravating you, picking on you, do not go on the defensive, go on the offensive. Why? Because you have power over all the power of the enemy. Yeah. Luke 10:19, Jesus said so.
Yeah. Verse 25, the baptism of John, which was it? From heaven? Or of men?
Was John the Baptist sent from God, or was he doing that in his own flesh?
And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, then why do you not believe him?
If we say John the Baptist sent Jesus, we actually heard John the Baptist say that Jesus is Emmanuel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but of course they didn't believe that.
Verse 26, but if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet.
Now there's a crack in the enemy's armor. The enemy is afraid of truth, but they disguise that by trying to make you afraid. They level the playing field and say, be afraid, shut up in your house, don't go out. But you see, they're afraid. The enemy is afraid of you, afraid of you if you have the truth.
Yeah. Verse 27, and they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell.
They took the fifth.
And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.
Yeah, take that.
Verse 28. Of what think ye?
What do you say?
A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, Son, go work today in my vineyard.
All right. The vineyard is planet Earth. The certain man is God, our beloved Yahweh. The two sons are two sharecroppers. One's doing a great job, and the other is phony. He's doing a bad job. What is a sharecropper? Remember the title. You are God's sharecropper. In early America, wealthy landowners would own farmland, and you could just buy all of your good foods there, get all, grow your foods there. But he didn't have the skill to tend the farm. So he'd hire someone who had the talent and would call him a sharecropper. The landowner, we'll call him the landlord, would provide the sharecropper and his family a house to live in. And then he would give him everything he needed to grow the crop so that we would have plenty of food. He would give him seed to sow. Maybe he would give him cotton to make clothes or watermelons or cucumbers. But that's not all. He provided everything he needed there. He would provide him a mule, a horse, or a tractor. And so the sharecropper would go and sow the cotton or the cucumbers or the watermelon or whatever. And he would plow a furrow there. And that's not all he did. The sharecropper would nurture that seed. He would water it and he would fertilize it. And when it was time for harvest, because the seed had grown, the sharecropper would pick the cotton or pick the watermelons or the cucumbers. Then the sharecropper would take the product to the farmer's market and sell it for money. Then the sharecropper would bring all back all the money and bring it to the landlord. And the landlord would share the money. The landlord would take 50% and give the sharecropper 50%. Both of them were rewarded. Isn't that beautiful? That's what a sharecropper is. Now you are God's sharecropper. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that is therein. After Lucifer's rebellion, that old devil, Isaiah 14, in the first earth age, the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, sin was brought into the equation. So God did away with the first earth age and brought in the second earth age and sent everybody out, we were in our spirit body there, in a flesh body, one time in the flesh to planet Earth to either accept Jesus, who would pay our sin debt, or to reject Jesus and serve the devil. And so all of those who were saved and accepted Jesus, you're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Jesus paid the sin debt. But once you get saved, you are to bear much fruit. So then he said, all of you saved people, I want you to be sharecroppers. Now, I'm going to provide all of you Christians everything you need to grow a good crop to bear much fruit. Remember, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. So God has equipped every Christian with everything you need to sow to bear much fruit because you are God's sharecropper. First of all, what did he give you? He gave you a flesh body because you have to have a flesh body on this planet Earth. But that's not all. He didn't just drop you off at Hollywood and Vine without a spiritual babysitter. Before he put in your mother's womb, he wrote a book about you. He wrote what color your eyes would be, what color your hair would be, what color your skin would be, red or yellow or brown or black or white. And he said, that's beautiful. I love all the colors. Then he wrote about the talents he was going to give you. He wrote about your purpose in life. He wrote about your destiny. So that's the first thing he did. And then he gave you salvation. All right? He put someone before you to tell you that you sinned and the wages of sin is death. But someone told you that God sent his son who paid your sin debt. Amen. Jesus died in your stead. He shed his blood for the rest of your sins. Jesus arose from the dead. Jesus is coming again. So he provided you with salvation. That's good. But then he provided you with the word so you would be a great sharecropper to bear much fruit. See, salvation is not enough. Many Christians stay babies all their life. Maybe they finally get to be a teenager. But you got to have the word to really be a great sharecropper and bear fruit. Amen. So he put someone before you that's chosen and called. When the student's ready, the teacher will appear. Amen. To tell you the mystery of God, of the first earth age, the second earth age, the third earth age, of the seduction in the garden, of the fall of angels, of the order of trumps, that six comes before seven. Six is the Antichrist, seven is the devil, and all the other good things. Now remember, he's the landlord, our God, is giving you all the things you need to be a good sharecropper. And then he gave you prayer. Boy, that's a power tool. And then he gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guide. That keeps you plowing a straight furrow, straight and narrow, not going off to the side. And then he gave people artistic talents and gifts. Okay, now let's look at the artistic talents and gifts so you can begin to sow and be a good sharecropper in God's vineyard, the earth. First of all, let's look at the fleshly talents. All right? To some people, he gives a gift of giving. You give, and you give, and you give again. And you know it's more blessed to give than to receive. To other people, he gave the gift of love. You just can't help it. You love them, warts and all. You just can't help it. And then he gave to some of you the gift of artistic talents. Okay, that covers a wide range. Maybe you can play an instrument or sing or decorate a mantle, or paint a picture, or a good speaker, or maybe you are an artist in sculpting, or maybe you're a writer, all these good things, all right? Then he gave some the gift of cooking. You don't just cook a meal, it's an artwork. And then he gave some of you the great gift, not mentioned many times, you just have the gift and talent of showing up. You are faithful. What a blessing. Then he gave, those are talents in the flesh. Then he gave gifts of Holy Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now some Christians never have one of those gifts because you're not sanctified and you don't give your life together to God, so you don't get them. Some Christians have one, some two, some Christians have all of them. So the gifts he gives you, so you can plow the ground, so it can be a good sharecropper, are 1 Corinthians 12. To some he gives the gift of knowledge, to some the gift of word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, to some the gift of faith, to some the gift of discernment of spirits, to some the gift of prophecy, to some the gift of healings, to some the gift of miracles, to some the gift of speaking in tongues, to some the gift of interpreting those tongues. Now, you've got all of those gifts. So now you're ready to be a great sharecropper in God's vineyard. All right, so you're ready to sow. So what are you going to sow? Everything you need is equipped. First of all, you're going to sow the seed of the Word of God. To whom do you sow? First of all, you sow to lost people. Everybody you meet is your mission field. It's your duty to find out whether that person is saved or lost. And so you sow to a lost person the salvation story. You tell them that because they sinned and they were doomed to die, that God sent his son. He died. He paid the sin debt. He shed his blood. He arose again. He's coming back. And if they will confess their sins, repent of their sins, turn from them, and believe, they'll be saved. But that's not enough. You also sow the word to saved people. Very few Christians ever graduate from being a teenager. Most stay baby Christians all their life. Oh, you know Jesus died, and maybe you got a little tiny bit further, but you have the truth. You are to sow the mystery of God to saved Christians so they can really be a good sharecropper. You tell them of the first earth age, how Satan rebelled, and that's why we're here, brought sin in the equation. You tell them of the seduction of the garden, how Satan beguiled Eve, exopatio in the Greek, wholly seduced or got her pregnant with Cain, and that's where the devil's children come from. You tell them of the fallen angels of Genesis 6, how they're about to come back with the Antichrist, and they're going to deceive people in the church. You tell them of the order of the trumps, that 6 comes before 7. We're now on the threshold of the 6th trump. The Antichrist comes before Jesus, and then Jesus comes. So see, it is your responsibility. So the first thing you sow is the word, to lost people and to save people. Now you got something else to say, so Farmer Brown. You're going to sow prayer. Oh, my Lord, you poor Christians who don't come to prayer meeting. Prayer is your power tool. Yeah. Boy, that digs it further. Prayer changes the hand of God. Yeah. Now, how do you pray? There are 2 ways you pray. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. First of all, you pray for those people to whom you've sown the word, or America, or Cuba, or Pakistan, or South Africa, or Canada, or Chile, or New Mexico, or New York. You pray for these people or places with understanding, with the language you have, okay? You pray that, and then you pray whatever's good about that. But that's not enough. You know why? Because Romans 8:26 says you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit would intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. Now this is where you're going to pray in the Spirit. That's what the word tongues mean. It should be language. It's a language of the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit knows how to speak French and German and English and all that. And when God's very elect are delivered up to the mouths of your Antichrist, the Holy Spirit's going to speak in those languages so the whole world can hear. But that's not what this is talking about. We're talking about praying in the language of the Holy Spirit. Why do you need to pray that? First of all, you don't know how to pray. Because Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man, that's the Holy Spirit praying through you, is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. See, no matter how you love the person, how sincere you are, how much word you know, you cannot know everything about that person or that nation or that situation. But the Holy Spirit goes and searches everything out, everything about that person, knows it all about the nation, America, Cuba, Pakistan, Africa, Chile, Canada, New Mexico, New York, about each person. And so then the Holy Spirit prays it correctly. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus the Son, Yeshua. Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father. These three are one. So when you pray in the language of the Spirit, not gibberish, I know there's a rotten apple in every barrel, but not gibberish, the real language there, God is praying to God. And don't you know God's going to answer that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we'll continue. You are God's sharecropper. Are you bearing any fruit?
Verse 29. And he answered and said, I will not.
Now, so the certain man went to the first son and said, will you go and work in my vineyard? Now he said, I will not. Okay.
But afterward he repented and went.
This is the Christian who's called to be a sharecropper. You know perfectly well you're to tell the story. You're to win souls. You're to witness. You're to pray in the Spirit. You're to give your whole life to God. You go to church every time the church door opens so you can hear God's voice. But you say, I'm not going. I still want to have fun. I want to be popular. I want to be rich. But you repent and you say, okay, Lord, I will. Okay, now you're ready to be a good sharecropper.
Verse 30. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not.
This one says, I'll do it. I love Jesus. I'll give my life to Jesus. You don't even come to church on Sunday. But you come to church on Sunday, some of you, but you never come on Wednesday. And that's your plowing tool. That's your power tool. Boy, are you missing it all. You see, you're not equipped to be the sharecropper.
Verse 31. Whither of the twain did the will of his father?
Which of these sharecroppers is in the will of God?
And they said unto him, the first.
Of course. Although at first he was, reluctant, he finally obeyed. By the way, obedience is better than sacrifice. And what you don't know, those of you who got still one foot in being popular money out there, obedience brings blessings. You watch a person who obeys. They are blessed, blessed, blessed.
And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you,
of a truth,
that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.
The scribes and Pharisees were saying, I'll go. They were the religious leaders, but they weren't even real. They weren't bearing any fruit. But the publicans and sinners said, I'm not going, but then they got saved. So now they are good sharecroppers.
Verse 32. And John came unto you in the way of righteousness.
John the Baptist.
And you believed him not.
You didn't believe him. You heard him say that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
But the publicans and harlots believed him.
Those sinners believed him.
And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward.
You actually saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove on Jesus, and you heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and you still did not believe. Boy, you're not even worthy of being a sharecropper. You're not even in the category of a sharecropper.
That you might believe him.
You did not believe.
Verse 33. Hear another parable.
Let's find another parable about you or God's sharecropper.
There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower.
Now, when Satan rebelled, God cleaned up this earth and said, okay, I'm going to send all of you out there, but I'm going to have a tower. I'm going to send my son to save you. The Bible says we run into his name and we are safe, we are saved. But my son is going to have his blood pressed out of him, the wine press squeezed. He's going to shed his blood for the rest of his sins. But he's going to rise from the dead, and my son, Christ, Christos, is the anointed one. So God had it all prearranged so that you could come in your flesh body and be one of God's sharecroppers to work on planet Earth. You're not saved by works, but you'll know them by their fruits. If you're saved, you will bear fruit. You will plow the soil, you will till it, and you will harvest, and you will bear fruit.
Amen. And led it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country.
Okay, he says, okay, sharecropper. God is omniscient, omnipresent, he's everywhere, but he's also looking at us all from heaven. Okay, you sharecroppers, I'm watching what you're doing. That means every one of the sound of my voice.
Verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. Verse 35. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another.
Okay, they put Jeremiah the prophet down in a sewer and left him to die. Thank goodness God did not let him die. He pulled him out later on. They killed Zechariah between the porch and the altar, that prophet, and they put Daniel in a lion's den.
Verse 36.
Those are bad sharecroppers.
Daddy sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise.
Then he sent Paul, the Apostle Paul. They beat Paul with 40 stripes minus one, 39, five times. They killed James, the brother of John, and they stoned martyr Stephen to death. The bad sharecroppers killed the good sharecroppers.
Verse 37. And last of all, he said to them, his son.
Last of all, the Virgin Mary gave birth to Emmanuel, God with us.
Saying, they will reverence my son.
Surely they would accept the Son of God.
Verse 38. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize on his inheritance. Verse 39.
Now these husbands are not real true sharecroppers. They are those who say they are Judah, but are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They are the descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil when that old serpent beguiled Eve in the garden. So see, they have stolen the vineyard. When Etha Adam and Eve sinned there and were beguiled by Satan, the devil walked in and stole the planet Earth. But they are not the correct sharecroppers. They are evil.
And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him.
They arrested Jesus. They crucified him in Golgotha outside of Jerusalem and crucified him on a cruel cross. Jesus died on the cross so you could be a good sharecropper. And look at you. You can't even come to prayer meeting. He shed his blood for the remission of your sins. But Jesus arose from the dead, and Jesus is coming back again right after the Antichrist, soon and very soon, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to check out the sharecroppers. What kind of fruit do you have?
Verse 40. And when the Lord of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?
What is Jesus going to do to the sharecroppers who do not obey, who do not bear fruit?
Verse 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. He will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen.
They don't get it. They think it's somebody else. They're so deceived. They are the guilty culprits. But you know what? The devil was deceived. He was a created being, a cherub. He saw God, and he deceived himself and said, I will be God. And all of his ilk, all of his children, right now, think they are so great. Look at Washington. They call evil good and good evil. They always point to the good guy, and they say, Dr. Good Guy, Senator Rand Paul, you're a liar. Rand Paul's not a liar, but the Ouchy Grouchy Fauci is a liar. They don't know they are the guilty ones.
Which shall render unto him the fruits in their season. Verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scripture?
Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14.
The stone which the builders rejected, the same had become the head of the corner.
Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the immovable, monumental stone, rock of ages. Yes, he was rejected. But Jesus is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a chief cornerstone. Jesus is the head. And we, the good sharecroppers, are the body.
Amen.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
This was God's plan B when Satan rebelled.
Verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof.
After the millennium, after the great white throne judgment, all of the fake sharecroppers with the devil as the head will walk into the lake of fire. Then, after that, God is bringing heaven and Jerusalem to earth. Father, Son, Holy Spirit will be here. Earth rejuvenated, the vineyard perfect again, paradise restored. And he's going to give the earth to us, heaven on earth, the good sharecroppers.
Verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken.
Now this would be the good sharecropper. The good sharecropper knows that you don't do anything in your own talent or might. You fall on Jesus, you lean on Jesus. And when you lean on Jesus, the power of sin is broken off of you.
And on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them to powder.
Bad sharecropper, lake of fire.
Verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard these parables, they perceived that he spoke of them.
I mean, I think they were offended, don't you? I hope they were offended.
Verse 46. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet.
There's that crack of the enemy's army again. They're always afraid. Now, after the Antichrist, Jesus is coming, and he's going to harvest. He's going to check out the sharecropper's fruit. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, when Jesus comes, the elements will burn with fervent heat, fire. But it does not mean the world will burn up, because the world is about in, and this is going to be heaven on earth. What it means in the Greek, the rudiments, the false fruit you bore, the false rudiments. God's going to put all of your sharecropper's deeds, you're not saved by works, in a fire machine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, if your works are wood, hay, stubble, in other words, rotten tomatoes, you never won a soul, you weren't faithful there, you never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you never did pray in the Spirit, it'll all be burned up in the fire. But you'll be saved, yet so is by fire, but you do not get a reward. However, 1 Corinthians 12, if your sharecropper's fruit, your works are gold, silver, brass, they pass the fire test, and you'll get a reward. Amen. And the Lord Jesus will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in small matters. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. You are God's sharecropper. Amen. How you doing? Amen. I pray you are blessed. Amen. Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry, very well. Awesome word today.
Awesome word.
It is.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart, Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15:4.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Perfect.
Amen.
The good branch is the good sharecropper. Thank you, Scott.
Amen.
Great.
Amen.
Scott. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you to be healed, but we want everybody to be saved. We're in the last hour here. We're in the threshold of the Antichrist appearing. It's time for you to stop playing church. If you're going to love God, love him and give your all to him. But if you're lost, you need to get saved. Pray this prayer with me. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want you to live in heaven on earth with us for all eternity. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I quit.
I quit.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in your Word.
Teach me to let the Holy Spirit pray through me.
Teach me to let the Holy Spirit pray through me.
Let me win many souls to Jesus.
And let me win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for all of you out there in SoundCloud, Facebook, internet, radio, wherever you are, listening on your smartphones, confession is made of salvation. You need to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear my telephone number. I invite you then to call me on that number. You won't get me personally. You'll get my voicemail. I'll get it soon. And tell me you were saved. Say your name clearly. Don't do the cell phone mumble. And I will pray for you. And now I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. Always pray each time for what I should pray. So I felt led to pray for the esophagus. For somebody I perceive or someone There's a disorder in your esophagus. There's a burning in your chest, in the back of your throat. And sometimes when you move in a certain position, there's a bitter taste comes in your mouth. So this, we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, according to your word in Malachi chapter 4, to those who fear your name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in your wings. The wings are the laser beams of Jesus Christ. So we ask the laser beams of Jesus Christ, healing virtue, go into the esophagus, whether it's narrowed there, where there's blockage there. We call forth divine order in the esophagus so that everything flows through that tube as it's supposed to be, divine order, and therefore the burning in the chest stops and the burning in the back of the throat stops and the bitter taste stops. In the name of Jesus. Somebody, you just got it. I felt it. You just got healed. Hallelujah. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray you were blessed. You were healed. Thank you, Father. Now, nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace and give you the peace that passes understanding. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you with all my heart. And I pray for this lesson, you're going to go and be a great sharecropper in God's vineyard, bearing much fruit. So when he comes, he'll say to you, well done. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
I to you, my King. Oh, it's the least that I can do. Sacrifice of praise, offering of thanks and gratitude to you, my King. To you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Bless you, Lord.
There is a name that echoes on eternal shores. With all believers who have come before, Jesus Christ, forevermore. Your love is amazing grace, never fails me. You are the saving one. You reach from the heavens, hope of the nation to you. I'm the saving one.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
God has many Christians who are on their way to heaven who are AWOL on earth.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord finds little use for followers who don't stand up for the gospel.
And I can't use them because they want to satisfy the populace, not represent me.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. When we've done something wrong, the right thing to do is to apologize. But when we've done something right, like confessing our allegiance to Christ, Dr. Evans says it's a different story.
Today, he explains what it means to be an unapologetic Christian, loyal to Christ, even when it cuts across the grain of our culture. Let's turn to Matthew 10 as he begins.
You and I are living in a day of no shame. Evil is being publicly paraded. And it should be clear today that Christians have lost the home field advantage. We are the visiting team. It has become crystal clear that whatever remnants of a Christian nation that we had no longer exist. And now we're at the stage where the one entity that was designed to hold the line crumbles too. And so I want to call on me, you, and us to make the decision to be unapologetic Christians, because that is what's needed today. This is not a day for Christianity light. Jesus says in verse 32, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. He brings up the issue of confession. He's not talking to non-Christians when he talks about confession and denial. He's talking to his so-called followers.